It'll all be familiar too. So he let the city buy that land for the state college. He didn't give it to him. And he reluctantly let him buy the land to give to the state college.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we got it. Plus all the political muscle we had in Sacramento to swing it this way.
I think some of Mrs. Bryant's land was involved, too.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
The lower part of the campus.
Well, that I didn't know. I didn't know she had any.
I may be wrong on that.
Well, it could be east of Bellflower. Yeah, probably so, yeah. But that I don't know anything about.
Well, sometime about 1931, they set up the Bixby Home Property Trust.
Yeah. I was told Fred wanted to keep the place out there as a place where his children and grandchildren could always come if they needed to. And he set up this trust and I don't know how much of the land but the old home place was owned by the trust, and he endowed it with quite a lot of money to support it. But after he died, well, his wife continued to live there until she died, you know.
Uh-huh.
So.
Uh-huh.
And after she died, none of the children would live there. Catherine lived in San Marino, and sister lived on her ranch, and Fred lived here and there. So they started trying to break the trust, and finally did. And then that's what made it possible for Mrs. Hotchkiss and her sister to make the gift to the city of the home place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Spent a lot of money. They moved all the barns in closer to the house, you know, and restored them. They had become dilapidated, but they and all moved in closer and restored them in good condition, built a wall around the place. and then gave it to the city. And they did a lot of work on the inside of the house, making it look like people lived there, you know.
Uh-huh.
They found clothes they'd had when they were kids. And,
uh-huh.
That was a magnificent gift.
Do you think they did that because they wanted?
They wanted to preserve.
Preserve.
You know, but they didn't want to live there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the city actually would be the logical one, I suppose.
Well, who else? You know?
That's right. Who else?
Yeah.
The state, maybe.
The other ranch hole is the same way. Well, the city bought that from the Williams family, who had bought it from Jotham's family.
Mm-hmm. Kenneth Wing told me that he was the architect that restored Cerritos in the early 30s.
Yeah.
And then the Williams family lived there for a while?
They lived there for a few years. I don't know how long. Mm-hmm.
Had they been living in Los Angeles prior to that, or had they?
No, I think his family always lived here. Llewellyn grew up in Long Bay. He grew up on Ocean Boulevard, west of Cherry. He went to the little school on 4th Street, the grammar school.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Well, he went to Wilson. Probably went to Poly. I never thought of that.
I don't think Wilson was started till about 27 or so.
No, he was Long Beach. Jotham's family, Jotham moved, he abandoned the Rancho Los Cerritos and moved to Los Angeles. When he started having children, because there were no medical facilities here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was told.
Mm-hmm.
So he lived up there while his babies were being born. Then he came back here and built a house at the northwest cushion, corner of Ocean and Magnolia. And that house is still, it was, somebody bought it and moved it out here to 4th Street, just west of Park Avenue.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was Jotham's home. They changed it. It used to have on top of what they call it, a widow's walk,
uh-huh.
Where they could get up there and look out over the ocean. It was still there when I came, but then somebody bought it and moved it out here. It's in great, great condition. It's a well-built old house. I think it's a rooming house now. There's a lot of little rooms in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's right down here at the, I guess it's the northeast corner of Raycroft and 4th Street.
Then George, his son George, built the house on La Linda, what is now La Linda Drive.
That, George Bixby, yes.
Yeah.
He married Amelia.
Mm-hmm.
Father's 6 children and died. He apparently was a very bright guy. Jotham trusted the original Jotham. He trusted Jotham, George, and used him in the company. Well, I guess he was quite a playboy, too, from what I've been told.
Well, her family also owns some property. I read the Andrews family owns some property right by near Signal Hill on Hill
Street.
Mm-hmm. So are any of their descendants, any of the original Jotham's descendants living in this area now?
Yeah, my left.
Mm-hmm.
2 grandsons are still alive. One lives down in Laguna. Leisure Will. One lived there in Arizona all his life until he was 70 years old, and then he moved up to Oregon. Still up there. And the one granddaughter. Yeah. Looks greedy. I'm on tape. And she lives in Palm Beach, Long Island, and here and there.
Well, I have a copy of the genealogy that Max and Smith did, and it gets very confusing trying to figure out all of these descendants. One of the things that you did indicate to me before, you were telling me about Fanny Bixby Spencer.
Yeah,
could you tell me a little bit about her?
Well, she's in the books, and a most interesting person, really. I never knew her. But she was an early liberated woman. In the First World War, she insisted on being a policewoman.
Mm-hmm.
And she had enough clout to play. I've seen a picture of her standing on the steps of the City Hall in a policewoman's uniform. She married a guy named Dr. Spencer. What kind of doctor he was, I don't know. But they lived up in Los Angeles someplace. And then they had a place over in Costa Mesa when it was pretty wild land over there. But she had a big Shepherd-driven car. And she'd drive down around Los Angeles, and occasionally she'd stop where there were some Japanese children playing on the sidewalk. And she'd get out and talk to them, and if she liked them, she'd go in and talk to the parents. And she picked up 8 or 10 of those children, and the parents let them come to live with Fanny.
My word.
And they worked as maids, as seamstresses, or... But she also saw that they were educated and clothed, and when she died, she left them stock and the companies. And when her husband died, he left the rest of what they had to these Japanese. And we got them on our stock holders list now, and that's... Well, they think Fanny was wonderful, believe me. And I don't blame them. But she was a very unusual lady, apparently.
She only did this with Japanese children?
They weren't all Japanese, no. There's one who's Elizabeth Spencer. Sorry, I don't know what she was. She's certainly not Japanese. She was one of her favorites, too. But, that's... Well, then there was one named White, who's dead. But most of them were Japanese.
Well, I understand she was a socialist, too. Yeah.
Probably been put in jail now. I guess she was arrested a few times for anti-war activities.
Yeah.
And her parents were so straight-laced.
Well, maybe back to Alameda.
But
go ahead.
If you listen to these Japanese people now, they're pretty old, 70 years old. Talk about her with a great deal of reverence and love and affection.
Well, back to the other branch of the family, the Fred Bixby side. Florence Bixby.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in her for a number of reasons, one of being the fact she started the Long Beach Day Nursery.
Mm-hmm. That's my belief.
And the idea that the care of these children of single parent family or working mother. And then there are all these stories that they would bring vegetables and eggs from the ranch.
That's right. Yeah. She was a great lady, by anything I know. A very kind, generous one.
But she had, after he died, I understand she had a series of strokes and just...
Well, the friction between her daughters and her son was terrific.
Just Fred?
Yeah, just Fred. You must have heard about that. Before his father died, he'd sued to try to find if his father declared incompetent.
Oh, my.
To break up that trust, for one thing. And he was constantly suing the company after his father died. Their board meetings, I was told, were like meetings between the Americans and the Russians, and he saw a lot of attorneys and stenographers and I don't know, I always felt that, when Fred left control of the thing in such a way that Florence had the deciding vote between the sisters and Fred, I always felt she just couldn't choose.
Uh-huh.
And all her children, she loved them, the two sisters and the two daughters and the son. He was a real... I don't know anything good about him, really. But she must have loved him. Anyway, her mind just left. Her body was healthy for years. Well, I don't know, I'm no doctor, but she was a great lady, really. It was just too bad that she had must have had a lot of unhappiness. So. Well, she lived there until she died.
Well, I guess it was after her death then that they began the business of breaking the trust.
That's right, yeah.
And then giving
then they broke it up and gave it to the city.
Would you say that Catherine Hotchkiss was the
she's dominant, very dominant, yeah.
And you told me that Catherine asked Marty, your wife, to start the docents program there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know of any special reason why she asked Marty?
I suspect that Betty Bixby suggested that, but I don't know. Catherine knew me because I'd been looking after the warehouses and stuff, and she knew me, and I don't know why. Marty was active. She'd been president of the YWCA, and CBO, Community Volunteer Office, she'd been president of that. Catherine may have heard of her that way. Well, I suspect Betty Bixby may have suggested. We don't know.
Well, then what's the idea? I think you did tell me this, or maybe Marty did herself, that she didn't feel that, say, the junior league should be...
That's right. Yeah.
Or the assistants league.
Well, either one to be dominant, take control.
Well, I know that it was Marty who did it, but I'm sure you've heard all about it, and you've given me some papers today, which maybe you'll tell a little bit more. How did she go about setting up the program? I mean,
Well, she got some of the Hill people out there involved who live around there. They were vitally important because they control the streets.
Yeah.
They own them.
That's right.
And, I don't know, she just managed to do it. Well, the assistance league, you know, came along and was going to build a tea house and stuff there.
Yeah.
I guess that would have gone through, but they wanted some things that was a city or building in the Gita. Anyway, it blew up. It's probably a good thing. It would have created a little traffic it would have caused. Well, I think the Hill people didn't want it because of the traffic.
Well, those houses were developed by S&S, weren't
they?
Yes. So they were sold, that area was sold onto S&S by the
children. And they sold stuff south of 7th Street now is being developed primarily by S&S.
Well, there was a housekeeper out at the...
Mrs. lived there forever. Helped take care of Mrs. Fred. Mikey talks about her in this report, I think.
Okay,
fine. A nice lady.
And then also George Salzer.
He came along later for the city.
Oh, I see.
After the city took over, he was the first curator, or whatever you call it. He'd been... an accountant or bookkeeper down in the harbor department or someplace, and city manager picked him up to... Well, he had worked for Fred Bixby, yeah. What had happened when Fred's first bookkeeper died, George Salzer became Fred's bookkeeper out there at the old ranch. And after Fred died, the business all went uptown, and George got a job in the city here. I think in the harbor department or something like that. Mm-hmm. So then when the city got title to this, I guess it was Johnny Mansell, must have known that George knew a lot about it because he'd worked out there for Fred. It was a very logical thing to do, was to put him out there as a curate, because he knew all about it. Mm-hmm. He gave his life, and he and his wife both contributed a lot to it. And I don't know who it is now. George's been gone quite a while.
Well, the library runs it now.
Yeah.
So it's the same curator who is in charge of both ranches, just left, and so there's a temporary assistant is in charge, Alan Calamaris.
Mm. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Well, George loved the place. He'd worked there for Fred, and he was back in the same office. And he did a great job. Well, what's happened to him? I think he's still alive. Yeah. I haven't heard of him for a long time.
Well, maybe we'll switch over to a little bit more about dairy neighbors. One thing I didn't have on the tape before was your membership in Rotary. And you served as Rotary president, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
About 1960.
Yeah, 20 years ago, 1936. I can't even remember. My memory. How could I forget that?
I can look that
20
up.
20 years ago, I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 63, 64. Mm-hmm. 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 I came in 1948, I think. I joined in 48. When I was executive of the community chest, I'll let you know.
I remember you telling me.
Yeah.
I wasn't here at the time.
Which was just a year and a half episode in the office.
Before you became part of...
That was between the security bank and Navy and the Victory Center.
I've often wondered, Rotary, I guess, is an older organization than Kiwanis in Long Beach.
I don't think Kiwanis was started. Rotary is 1917 in Long Beach.
what would be...
Some much larger club.
Rotary is?
Yeah.
Is there any reason why someone would join Rotary rather than Kiwanis, why would you join Rotary rather than Kiwanis?
You embarrass me.
All right. You don't have to say anything.
No, they're both good clubs. Rotary, our club has never allowed another club in Long Beach.
Oh.
So it stayed very big. It's 350 to 400 members. We've got a big budget. We can buy good speakers and stuff, which makes it desirable on that ground. Kiwanis is, I think, two, maybe three.
Oh.
Downtown, North Long Beach, East Long Beach, Kiwanis. Mostly, lines have broken up, but our club has never done it here in Long Beach, although we're under continuous pressure to do it, but our club has never agreed to it. So, the caliber of our speakers and programs is, I would say, generally better than most clubs can afford. And we do get top membership, generally. Not always, but I used to know more people in Kiwanis better than I knew in Kiwanis in Rotary, like Kenneth Wang. I worked with him for several years very closely. He was a Kiwanian. Mal Simpson, my attorney, was a Kalanian.
Llewellyn Bixby?
He was a Kalanian, yeah. Mm-hmm. His father had been a Rotarian in the early days. And he got, I don't know what happened, he got mad. Went over and joined Kiwanis. Llewellyn gave me the roster in which his father was still a member of Rotary. Oh. But Llewellyn's son came into Rotary.
Long Beach Rotary has always had a long relationship with the Long Beach Day Nursery.
Yes.
It's Joe Mattel.
Yeah, he started helping it and claiming a lot of credit for it from the beginning. Well, every year we give him some money and he'll go out to some kind of event there. A lot of our members go out to watch the little kids. It's worthwhile.
Yeah. Then you also told me you were on the board of the Campfire Girls.
Yeah, kind of for several years. Yeah. Well, I don't know what about that.
Well, you said something about you felt that so many men were doing things with
Well, I was acting on the community chest for many years. I was budget chairman 4 times. I was president, vice president, campaign. I began to feel that it was so much easier to raise money for the boys, the YMCA, Boy Scouts, Boys Club, than it was for girls, Girl Scouts, and especially Campfire. And somehow I got the idea that girls might be very important, just as important, maybe more important than boys, because they're going to be the mothers. So I leaned that way then a little. Then when Mary Ann came along, she went into Campfire, and somebody got me on the board of Campfire. That was when Mary Ann was a little girl. I've been there ever since, trying to help me one way or another. A good group of people. Girl Scouts are good. They're all fine organizations, but I think they need more help than some of the others.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You can't help. I can't help them all.
No, not if you have to choose. That you have a special feeling for. When I spoke with Kenneth Wing, I first learned about the University Club. I had never heard about the University Club before, and he was the first president.
That's right.
Said that Fred Bixby had nominated him to be the first president.
Yeah, I got Fred to join.
Excuse me?
I got Fred to join.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. He was a great university man. He loved the University of California.
Yeah, yeah.
So I knew Bill Brooks. He was one of my closest friends. He was one of the organizers of the University Club. Well, I joined, and I saw Fred one day and asked me, and then, oh, University Club, huh? Yeah.
But it didn't last too long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it didn't.
Kenneth Wing says that the International City Club sort of took over as similar type organization.
It did what they hoped the University Club would do and couldn't. Don't know what's going to happen to it now. The Harbor Department World Trade Center and the club it's going to have. And The International City Club is still very popular and doing very well.
Are you a member of that?
Not now. I was when, through Jeff and Bixby Company. But when that company went out of business, I decided it wasn't worth it to me personally. Or I'm there frequently. Both Alameda's Land Company and Victory Land Company, when they have board meetings, we all go there to lunch after board meetings. I go there with George Bodenhausen frequently.
So it's not a...